We're in a series called Move Me. Can you say that with me? Move Me. Now, don't be looking at your clock or nothing this morning. Loving Hands and all the music, come on. Amen? We work too hard. Here we go. We're going to get this message in. Down a little bit more, Kev. Move Me. We're in a series on the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you've come today thinking I'm going to teach you how to flop down in the floor like a chicken and cluck like a chicken or something, or run up and down and do it, that's not what I'm talking about. Okay? I'm talking about what I see from the Word of God and practically and personally in my life. I'm not going to try to tell you something I don't know something about. Amen? So that's what we're going to talk about over these next several weeks, about 5 or 6 weeks. Last week was message one. So if you've just come in, any week will be a good week to come, but we'll connect the dots for you, okay? Here we go. Let's go to the Word of God. Everything's on the screen today. If you're here, you can also download this tomorrow. Go to our website, and all you see on the screen will be right there for you to review. We're hooking our wagon to Peter a little bit, okay, in this series. Peter was probably stronger than most of us, and that still didn't cut it. We talked about that last week. Great speaking abilities, strong leadership skills, phenomenal giftedness does not mean that you have the power of the Holy Spirit. Making great promises like Peter did, resolutions, being determined, I'll never deny you, does not mean that you have the power of the Holy Spirit. Being a fighter like he was, I'll just cut your ear off, Malchus. A man of great strength and courage he was, it does not mean you have what? The power of the Holy Spirit. Peter had all of those abilities. He had all that stuff. And that was not enough. Okay? That's what we're talking about in this series. We must all learn that we cannot experience the power of the Holy Spirit if we're standing in our own strength. Amen? And I said this series is going to be personal. I got a little personal last week. Me and Peter, we have a lot in common. I see me and Peter, he's the guy in the Bible I can relate to. Except that fishing naked thing, I don't do that. Okay, he did that in John 21. Me and Peter ain't going to do that. Amen? But anyway, I can relate to this guy. But that does not mean I have the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're looking at. Do you want the power of the Holy Spirit of God in your life? Do you want God working in your life? That's what I want. Man, I determined, it was a while back at this church when we started this ministry, and it wasn't right away that I determined this, but after a short while I determined, I do not want to do Fellowship Church. If God's not moving, if God's not here, if God's not in it, I don't want to pull the trailer up, I don't want to unload the stuff, I don't want to set the sound up, I don't want to do the mess, I don't want to do all this stuff that we're doing, having nursery and a dressing room and things out back, I don't want to do all that. If you're not in it, okay? Yeah, well, anyway, that's how I'm feeling. Okay, I know some people don't think this is work. This is work. But Lord, if you're in it, I'm in it. That's what I want. Amen? And so God started working, moving. I'd been a pastor for 17 years prior to that. I told the earlier crowd, I was the preacher who didn't pray. I would come on Sunday, preach before we started this ministry, and it wasn't because I wanted to pray that I started praying here. Our first service out front, 7.5 years ago, the doors were locked. We're waiting on the county people to get here to open the doors. We still have to do that every Sunday. And we're anxious. First Sunday, they're not here. So we just hit on our knees out front on the concrete. A few of us that were going to sit up, and we started praying. Next week, we took that prayer meeting into a pickup truck. And for 7.5 years, there hasn't been services here at this facility. I have not walked in this building without having prayer. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about power in your life, being changed. Prayer has changed my life. communicating with God, knowing this ministry isn't just going through the motions and doing something. I need God to show up. Y'all hearing me say? All right. Because you matter. I remember the day, well, I don't really remember the day, but shortly after when Gene and Julie came. And now I have a testimony with Gene how he got saved. Amen. Amen. See, this matters. And I look around this room and I see a bunch of you. Matt Benton gave the greatest testimony, one of the best testimonies I've ever heard in my whole life at our communion last Wednesday night. It was phenomenal. Phenomenal how he came to Fellowship Church. Amen. And you loved him. And his life's been radically changed because of Jesus Christ. This matters. Y'all understand? Say, power. Can't do it without the power of the Spirit. So, last week we saw this, that you need to get what? You need to get positioned for power. Okay? You need to get in the position for God's power to fall on you and to flow through you. This ain't being spooky. You got to get in the position. And we take it right from John 21 and the message last week in 3 points, and they were a little ugly. Here's the first one. Get naked. That's what he did. You read John 21 yourself. Figure it out or go online, check it out. But the point is, what do I mean? Lose your self-righteousness. If you want God the Holy Spirit to flow through you, Mr. and Miss Christian, you got to lose that self-righteous mess. You got to get down and just naked with yourself before God and say, God, I'm just naked before you. Because that's what the Bible teaches, that we are all open and naked before Him. Is that what the Bible says? Yes, that's what the Bible says. That's a good thing. So you got to get positioned like that. Got to get naked. Number two, you got to get down with yourself. What do I mean? That you've got to know inside of yourself that you believe in Jesus Christ, that you love Jesus Christ, and if you want the power of God in your life, you've even got to go a step further. You've got to know like Peter knew. You've got to know that Jesus knows you love Him. There's a difference. You can charge hell with a water pistol when you know that you love Jesus, but wait a minute, He knows I love Him. Hey, buddy, if God's got your back, you're in good shape. Amen? Get that down inside of you. I can't do that for you. You got to do that yourself. The last thing we said last week was get moving with Himself. What do I mean by that? He told Peter, he said, when you were young, you walked the way you wanted to walk. He said, when you're old, somebody else is going to carry you. And then he said this, follow me. And that's what we need to do. We need to start moving in that direction and following Jesus Christ. And when we start getting in these kinds of positions, we're getting in the proper alignment for the Spirit of God to come into our life. Does that make sense with us so far? Yes or no? Okay, let's go on now to this message today. They're all going to have P's in this series. The first one was position for power. This one is parameters for power. Can you say that with me? Parameters for power. And y'all need to wake up and help me. Here we go. Parameters for. Now see, I'm from the country. I don't know if a parameter is a perimeter. I don't know any of that mess. But we had a little chat, and a parameter. What is a parameter? Here's what a parameter is. I'm glad some of y'all are going, I don't know. Good. Here we go. Roger did this to help the preacher. Parameter. Can y'all say that with me? Parameter. All right. Parameter. Thank you. I knew how to say it. It's any factor that defines a system and determines or limits its performance. Don't move that. We need it again. It's any factor that defines a system and determines or limits its performance. There are different kinds of parameters, okay? Roger mentioned one example. You go to Disneyland, Disney World, you get you a ticket. That ticket lets you inside that facility. And now you're on the inside. And that ticket is good for all the activities that ticket's good for. Now, you can't go be buying cotton candy with that ticket. That ain't in the parameters of that ticket. Is that correct? Yes or no? But can you go and ride the ride? Mm-hmm. You can go on Space Mountain 8 times if you want to. Yeah. See what I'm saying? Because that is the definition of that ticket that defines what it's used for. You understand? Good. That's about all I can do. I can't do no better than that. Okay? I sort of think it as like a big circle. All right? And here's the parameters of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. We need to do what we can see they did that's inside that circle. Amen? If there's things that's outside that circle, that's outside of God's moving, of God's parameters, I need to stay away from that if I want the power of God to flow in my life. Does that make sense to anybody? Parameters. So we must define some of the basic parameters within which the Holy Spirit operates. Okay? So let's do that. And we're going to pick it up right where we left off last week. Here we go. Let's pick up Peter where we left him in John 21. Then Peter, turning about, he sees the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, we believe, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, is it he that betrays thee? So Peter sees John, and he says to Jesus, what shall this man do? What's John going to do? You've been talking to me. What's he going to do? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarries till I come, what is that to you? Follow me. Jesus said in plain English, don't worry about what this man's going to do. Follow me. Got it? Yes or no? All right? So let's keep looking and learning. Verse 23. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, because they heard it, that that disciple John should not die. But Jesus didn't say unto him, he shall not die. He said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? What's a quick point before we get inside the circle? It's interesting when we focus on what others do, the stuff that can get spread everywhere. Instead of Peter worrying about Peter, instead of Peter worrying about following Jesus himself, he's worried about John, and all of a sudden, that little talk he and Jesus had gets spread all abroad, and it said, looks like now that John ain't ever going to die. Doesn't that sound just like Church 101? Somebody talk to me. Say. All right, I'm telling you something. The power of the Holy Spirit's not going to move when you do that. When you worry about, well, old Danny over there, he needs to be doing this, that, and the other. Why don't you worry about you? Say. Won't you worry about you following Jesus? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about you. As far as in this room, the one I have the most trouble with following Jesus is Gary. Y'all hearing me say, you the pastor, you supposed to help everybody follow. Let me tell you, friend, I can just do what I can, but I got to make sure Gary's following Jesus. Amen? Okay? I want you to all follow. I want to be like Apostle Paul. Follow me. Amen? Good. I hope I can walk in a way that you can follow. But at the end of the day, I got to worry about me following. Got it? Keep looking. So that's outside the perimeter. Before we even get to the book of Acts, the last couple of verses in the book of John, man, they're outside the perimeter. How is this bunch ever going to turn the world upside down for Jesus? That's what I want to know, amen? Shoot, y'all can't even get along. Well, it's called the power of the Holy Spirit. Y'all hear me say? Amen? So let's look at it. So what are some basic parameters within which the Holy Spirit operates? And we're going to do our message a little bit different this morning. I'm going to give you my points at the end, and we're going to read Scripture. The very next book in the Bible continues this story. It's called the book of Acts. It's written by a doctor. His name is Luke. Can you say that with me? Luke wrote this book. Okay, here we go. Verse 1, chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also Jesus showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. As we read the scripture, I'm going to pop up some some little statements. I want you to pop them in your noggin. Here's the first one. Say it with me. Many infallible proofs. We're talking about parameters, and we're going to get back to it, so hang on. Let's say it again together. Many infallible proofs. One more time. Many infallible proofs. You're almost there. One more time. Many infallible proofs. Let's keep reading. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. What was that one we just said a little bit ago? Many infallible proofs. Got another one. Say it with me. They should not depart from Jerusalem. We're talking about the parameters of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to get there. Hang on. Many infallible proofs. Say this one more time. They should not depart from, one more time, they should not depart from Jerusalem. You're going to get it even if I get on your nerves. One more time. They should not depart from, okay, just keep reading. Verse 4, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of it to Israel? He said unto them, it's not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in his own what? Power. Another statement. So the first one was, you got to work hard, many infallible proofs. The second statement I want you to hang your hat on is, they should not depart from Jerusalem. This next one, say it with me, wait for the promise of the, come on, wait for the promise of the, is waiting hard, say? Oh, one more time, wait for the promise of the, okay, how many are just totally lost? Because if you are, good, that's where I want you right now. And then there's an incredible verse, the very next verse. You ought to memorize it. You ought to know it. I learned it as an early Christian, before the Lord called me off into the ministry. Here it is. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Man, that's the greatest verse on missions, man, almost in the Bible. It's incredible. You shall receive power. Jesus said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I'm telling you what, fellas, what you're going to accomplish through me is going to be incredible. And we're here today, 2,000 years later, and look at us. We're just a small part of millions, billions since this time who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Incredible what happened here. Okay? Back to our story, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, so he had resurrected, he's talking to them, been there 40 days. Told him, don't leave Jerusalem, okay? Wait for the promise of the Father. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, Jesus was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up in heaven, into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Boy, isn't that incredible? All right? So, we're trying to figure out the parameters of power. Jesus said he was going to be betrayed. He said he was going to be crucified. He's going to be killed. But he said the third day he's going to rise again. Peter said, no way, Lord. Jesus told him, get behind me, Satan. Remember? This has to happen this way. John 14, don't be troubled, guys. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Remember? Okay? And then he talked about the comfort. I'm not going to leave you alone. What are you going to do? You started this and you're leaving us. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside you. I'm going to be with you always, even unto the end of the age. That'd be pretty scary that day watching him go away, wouldn't it say? And they're looking at Peter like, and he left you in charge? Something's got to give here. Is that right? Yes or no? Something's got to give if this thing's going to happen. Because this ragtag bunch of people ain't going to do it. It ain't going to happen. We need help. Help's coming. Check out what happened. Then returned they unto where? From the Mount of called Olivet, or the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey, which means a very short journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room, where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the one, the brother of James. Okay? So they returned to Jerusalem. Jesus told them to do that, right? Okay, so we're fixing to see something happen. I want you to take a quick peek at this, and we'll talk about it in just a little bit. I've been here many, many times, and this is an older photo from way back when, but this is the Mount of Olives, and this is Jerusalem right over there. In the middle is the Kidron Valley. It can be called the Valley of Hell, the Valley of Hinn, the Valley of Gehenna, all these kind of names, but it's that little valley. So they were over here in this vicinity, which isn't very far away, is it? Say, I've walked it many times, right down there. I've been on tour guides, walk right down there, and we end up back over there. So they weren't very far away, but that's not where Jesus told them to be, was it? Wanted them to be in Jerusalem. Keep looking. So here they are back in Jerusalem. We're still learning, trying to get somewhere. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Acts 2:1 also says that. These all continued with one accord. We're clicking along here this morning. Look at Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, say it with me, they were all with what? One accord in what? One place. All right. Now here we go. They were all with one accord in one place. Can you say that with me? That's another statement you got to know if you want to know the parameters. They were all with one accord in one place. Help me now. Get back with me. They were all with one accord in one place. One more time. They were all with one accord in one place. So basically, I popped up four things that I wanted you to see. Many what? Infallible. The next one was, they were not to depart from, they were to wait for the promise of the Father, and then they were what? All in one accord in one. Y'all cool? Parameters for power. You ready, Raj? Here they are, in case you want to know what they are, you want to write them down. Here they are. The parameters, some parameters, not all parameters, just from what I've seen studying God's Word over the past week as I focus in on this subject. Here it is. Number one, say it with me, personal. Personal. What do I mean? Here's what I mean. You see that man right there? You see see that lovely couple, Frank and Mary on the screen? If you want the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you got to know that Jesus is alive. Frank, not long ago when I was gone, he stood up on this stage and told you how he got saved. Is that right, Frank? How he came into your life. You knew the day. You knew when you came. You knew how he worked in your life. You knew how he worked in your life to help you give up the alcohol. Is that correct? And you gave who the credit? Amen. Gave God the Father all the glory, all the credit. Amen? Here's the point. Here's a parameter for power. What Frank knows ain't going to get you the power. You got to know it. You got to know it. Many infallible proofs. What do I mean by that? Pop it up. You must know that Jesus Christ is alive in you. Well, my preacher, he knows Jesus is alive. That ain't helping you squat. You've got to know that Jesus is alive in your life. See, I can take you to the den that my mother was sitting in watching Billy Graham on TV. I can tell you how I cussed right. I can take you up Caroline Street, how we walked to church. I can tell you what it was like. I can remember what they said. I can tell you how I went forward, and Ralph Reeder told me out of the Bible how that I needed to trust Jesus as my Savior. I remember praying it with him. That's just the beginning. I can take you back over my life, many infallible proofs that Jesus Christ is alive in my life. That is a requirement. Y'all listening or not, say this morning, church. You got it or not? Now, if you don't want the power, that's your business. Go on. But if you want the power of God in your life, you must be convinced by your own life that Jesus Christ is your Savior. He's alive in you. You believe in Him. You trust Him. You're going to follow Him. Now we're talking. Amen? Many infallible proofs. When you hear Oprah Winfrey on Sunday night do her little life show she's got going on about creation, I like it. It's cute. But she says millions and billions of years. Does something go up your back? And so that's bull. Good. See, that's what I'm talking about. Now, the old me would have just bit that line and just been tickled. Oh, yeah, we come from a monkey and all that kind of mess. But now that I got Jesus in my life and I believe the Word of God, guess what? The Word of God is right. Amen? And as I look, I see more and more and more and more many infallible proofs that I have a great God. He's my Savior. He's my Creator. And He's my Lord. And He's my God. You understand? If you're not that way, you need to get that way. Because you outside the parameters, I believe, of the Holy Spirit working and having power in your life. You don't really believe His Son. You don't really have total confidence in His Son who gave His life for you. And that's what His Word teaches. Without faith, it's impossible to please me, God says. You must believe that I am, that I'm a rewarder of those that diligently seek me, He says. Amen? So that's number one. Not hard. Got it? Come on, help me, church. You got it? Amen? Personal. Do you know Christ is your personal Savior? And can you look back and say, let me tell you something, preacher. Many infallible proofs that He's my God. I don't care what somebody else says. Old Gypsy Smith was an old hymn writer riding on a train years ago. And he was reading his Bible. And a man sat down beside him and said, you don't believe that stuff in that book, do you? And old Gypsy, he's a revival preacher too. And old Gypsy Smith, he tried to hush, didn't say nothing. That's crazy what's in that book. You don't believe that book. You just dreaming. And Gypsy Smith looked at him and said, hey, sir, if you don't mind, if I'm dreaming, let me dream on. And that's an old song I used to sing. Let me dream on, baby. It's not a dream, what we think of a dream. I tell you what, though, I ain't been to heaven yet, but I know Mama's there. You hear me? Oh, Mama's there. And you know Millie Walker passed away this last week. She knew Mama. And I believe Mama knows I'm all right. Okay? But I think old Millie got to say, you know, they're doing just fine. They just broke ground. Amen? I'm nuts. I believe like that. Amen? You understand? Number two, place. When we started fellowship, I didn't know who had come. Part of me was all tore up, angry, hurting. And God, in His sovereignty, had 273 people show up the first day. By the end of our first week organizing, I had $7,000 cash. I knew we could make it on $1,800 a week. I mean, you know, at least pay the bills. I wouldn't sink. But God showed up. Are y'all hearing me? God showed up. Anything that we do here that's any good, let me tell you something. It ain't me. It ain't you. It's God. It's the glory of God. God gets all the credit. He gets all the glory. No names going on, no pews at the Fellowship Church. I'm telling you that right now. You just ain't having it. It ain't happening. Okay? Unless your name's Jesus Christ. Amen? Say. Glory of God. God gets the credit. I was broken. I was down. He picked me up. It was all Him. Amen? Let me tell you something. They had to be in the place where the Holy Spirit was going to fall. Listen, you must be in the place that Jesus has called you. For them, it was Jerusalem. Okay? He said, don't depart from Jerusalem. They didn't like Jerusalem. They're from Galilee. They didn't like these people. And the people they did like lived over on the Mount of Olives. They were so much more at home with Lazarus and his family and those kind of folk. They didn't want to be there with all them Pharisees and Sadducees and that uppity mess. They didn't want that. He said, don't you depart. Don't you leave this place. Amen? And it would have been easy to think this was close enough. Look, that ain't that far from over there. Jesus didn't want them here. He wanted them there. He didn't want them here. He wanted them there. Okay? Here's the point, folks. Listen, if you want the power of God to flow in your life, listen to me. Don't have one foot in and one foot out. I come to fellowship, but you know, I'm still like out there looking for other churches, or, you know, I come every once in a while. I welcome you to do that. Don't expect the power of God to fall on your life. Amen? And if one foot in, listen, I'm going to be ugly again. Listen, if Fellowship Church is not your church where you ought to be, get out, go somewhere else. Why? I'm not trying to be mean. So the power of God can get on your life. We're not all made the same. Not everybody can put up with me. I understand that. Okay? But listen, it's not about me anyway. It's about us being the body of Jesus. But one foot in, one foot out. How many have done church like that before? Come on, let's be honest before the Lord. That's me. I've been doing this thing. You'll never have the power of God on your life. I tell you what. You might not like the way I talk and different things I do and the way I part my hair and all that mess. But listen. Listen to me. Where God is where I want to be. I can tell you from experience and being flat out honest as a preacher. I'm emotional. I got issues. I get discouraged. I got problems occasionally. That's the truth. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. There ain't a Sunday that I've come here that I've preached that God didn't show up. That he didn't work in my life, that he didn't change my life, that people didn't get saved, something crazy going on, something's happening. And I thank God for that. That's what I want to be. I want to be in that place. And let some of that Mickey Mouse little preference junk you got go and fly out the window. Get in with both feet where God is. You listening? Amen? Praise the Lord. Come on. Praise the Lord. This is personal. I'm just being personal with you, all right? God changed my life here at Fellowship. Let's do it again. How many remember me before? Remember me now? You say Clark's different. That's who you am. Oh, yeah. And that's a good thing. It's a good different. God's working in my life. Amen? How many of you would say that? Pastor, since I come here, God's coming in my life. He's been working in my life. I know I'm different. Can I see some hands in the house? That's what I'm talking about. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but I ain't falling down clucking like a chicken. Good. I'd much rather you have a changed life and be effective for God. Amen? And not a show. Keep looking. Number three. So number one was, got to be personal. Number two, place. Not one foot in, not one foot out. Number three, that's how I used to look. Stop laughing. Y'all remember that big pulpit Mr. Patterson made me when we started fellowship? How many remember that thing? This thing was that big. I think God wanted it that big so he knew I would get rid of it. And I love Mr. Patterson, but finally I had to whirl the thing back in the back. I still kept getting it off the trailer every week and putting it back there because I didn't want to hurt Mr. Patterson. I love Mr. Patterson. Amen? The point is that the promise. We started this ministry, and God helped us. He blessed us. But, you know, just starting something, and Roger put a couple of articles up because the point is that God has blessed us here. And what do I mean? Here's a couple of things. He said, wait for the promise. What did they want to do? They tried to push their agenda. What's John going to do? And then they tried to push their agenda. Are you going to restore your kingdom now? Is it time now? They were pushing. Do you understand? That pushing mess weren't going to get the job done. They had to wait for the promise. Okay? And quite frankly, I have experienced that here. I have experienced God showing up. And I've had to let him do that. And not me pushing my own agenda. Okay, listen, you must wait on the promise of the Father if you want the power of God. You can't focus on what others should do. Don't do that. Don't do that. Wait on God to give you power and work in your life. Don't be Mickey Mousing around with that kind of thinking. And don't push your own agenda. I had people early on, and I don't mean to be ugly, coming to me, meeting me. We need to do the church like you did it before. That's what they told me. You know why they said it? Because that's what they were used to. Well, fellowship's just different. Are y'all listening? Say, we're just different. But if I can be different and God shows up, I'm fine. What's your problem? I want God to show up. Amen? Sometimes we can get so politically organized that God, it can't even work. You hearing what I'm saying? This committee, that person, this person, that. Here's the biggest position you can ever have at Fellowship Church. Servant. Can you say that with me? Servant. One more time. Servant. And let me tell you something. That is the biggest position in God's eyes that you could ever have. It's an awesome privilege to be a servant of the living and the Most High God. What is a better line than that say? Well, I'm the head of this committee. Ooh, let me try this one. I am a servant of the Most High God. And you're over the what? The really? Sorry. I'm a servant of the Most High God. And that's how I look at Raj. That's how I look at Kevin. That's how I look at Miss Karen. That's how I look at the band. That's how I look at the singers. That's how I look at those serving hospitality. Those out there, those that pick up the offerings, those that hug people's necks, those that are helping people in a wheelchair, those that are working in the nursery. We're servants. Amen? Well, I'm not used to it being that way. Well, good. You might not belong here because you might screw us up. Y'all hear me or not? Okay. I know I'm being a little ugly. Here we go. You're not God. We need to wait on the promise of the Father. Don't act like you're God. Don't think like that. We're not God. We're weak people. And we need the power of God to flow in our life. The last one is this. Peace. That's us out there. That's our men's prayer group. There's about 50 or 60 there that day. Doesn't look like that many because we're all squeezed in, huddled together. I'm in the middle. You can't see me, I don't think. And they got their hands on me, praying over me. And we're praying together. You know what that's called? Unity. You want the power of God? Listen to me. You want the power of God to fall on your life? You must be in unity with fellow believers in Christ. Would you say that with me? You must be in unity with fellow believers in flat out. How do you explain what God has been doing and people work the work of God here at Fellowship? I'm not trying to pump us up. We got so much we ain't doing. It's crazy. We can do so much more. But my point is, you can't deny God works here. There's no denying it, okay? And one huge thing is this right here. Okay, and that's unity. The Bible says they were all in one accord and in one place. If you ask me a great definition of unity, here it is. All in one accord in one place. You can say you're in unity when you ain't around somebody. How are you when you're with them? Amen? How y'all act when y'all in one place? Y'all get along then, say. You got family members, you love them and everything, but you can't necessarily get along when they come over. Can I say something? Amen? I speak from experience. Amen? Listen, one of the biggest things that God has blessed us with here is unity. Look at Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were what? The power fell. Last thing, and I've got to quit. We're out of time. But here's the last thing. Hang in here with me. Listen to me. I was leaving last Sunday, and Alicia, who sits over here, she's up in Tampa today. She's walking up the aisle with me after I've talked to a bunch of folk. And she says, and we just talked a little bit, and she said this to me. She said, Pastor, this is the only church I've ever been in. And by the way, she's been in church a long time. Used to head up Campus Crusade for Christ, Billy Graham organization. A lot of stuff. She said, this is the only church I've ever been in where they don't have roast preacher on Sunday. Where they go home after church and talk about the preacher. And she followed up by saying, there's not disunity in the body of Christ. And she didn't realize it, and I didn't realize it. When she said it, I thought, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. That sure ain't something I've done. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Us getting together, and we're in unity. Y'all listening, yes or no? And some of you say, well, we're in unity, preacher, because you say if we're not, get out. So let me make it clear again. If you're not, get out! There's eight doors. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's 9 doors out of here. I would rather dwell together in unity where the Spirit of the Lord is than dwell together with thousands where He ain't. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And folks, I've got to quit, but I know I've been talking a lot today, and I said I was going to open up a lot in this little series, and I am. But here's what I want to tell you. I know a lot of us think, and I tend to be pessimistic. How many knew that? Stop. I think we think sometimes, look at our church, man. I don't think we have a clue, and Danny Jordan's been trying to help me understand this better. I don't think we have a clue what waits ahead of us. Okay? We are a base. We are a foundation. This church right here, we are a base. We're a foundation that others can come on and build on top of us in the future. What we're doing, it is so critical that we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. It's a high calling for us to do this building, debt-free or die. That's us. We're those people. One day we'll be passed on. And somebody will say, you know what? There was a group that was a base. They had a vision. They got along. They loved Jesus. I hope when I'm dead and gone, if they have problems here one day with this ministry, they would look back to this early church, this one, us, and say, you know what? We need to get back the way they were, with unity, loving one another, the power of God flowing. Amen? Don't you want to be that kind of base for the future? Me too. This is important. I didn't know where this message was going today. I think it did all right. The Holy Spirit fell and filled the house where they were sitting. Jeff Clemens, are you here? Jeff, do we pray on Sunday early in the truck that the Holy Spirit will be where someone's sitting? Yes or no? Is it biblical? Somebody tell me. This is a quote from me this morning. More than anything else, that's what I constantly desire for Fellowship Church, that the Holy Spirit will fill the house where you're sitting. Isn't that a great way to have church? That's what I'm talking about, the parameters. So just check that out. Where are you today? You out here outside the pasture somewhere? You over here? Come on. Get back in here. This is where we're going. Amen? Got it? Hey, preacher, did you understand the message there? You all right with it? All right. I was just looking at you the whole time. Amen. Let's praise the Lord for the Word of God this morning. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Good stuff.